So the sermon this morning is called Built to Last, and our scripture is from Matthew 7:25. Now, this summer, on August 19th, 2019, the National Hurricane Center identified a tropical wave, an elongated trough of low air pressure, within a monsoon over Guinea and Senegal in Western Africa. Propagating west over the tropical Atlantic Ocean, the system remained disorganized for several days. A deep ridge imparted and continued westward, and it continued this western movement of the depression, this storm system, steering it toward the Lesser Antilles Islands. A very small cyclone, and they thought they would just keep in this tropical depression, but it soon developed an inner core, and that inner core became 12 miles wide, and it developed this eye-like feature. This marked the system's intensification into a tropical storm, and then it was assigned the name Dorian. Dorian continued to move west and barely missing Barbados, bringing tropical storm-force winds and heavy rain. It then started moving northwestward towards St. Lucia. Dorian had been predicted to travel northwest and pass over or near the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, possibly allowing their mountainous terrain to weaken the tropical storm. However, Dorian took a more northerly track than expected and intensified, and it caused it to pass to the east of Puerto Rico and hit the U.S. Virgin Islands, where it intensified again into a Category 1 hurricane. Once the system moved past the Virgin Islands, it started rapidly intensify, and on September 1st, it reached Category 5 status. Hurricane Dorian then made landfall on Grand Abaco Island in the Bahamas with 1 minute sustained winds at 185 miles per hour and wind gusts of over 220 miles per hour. Damage in the Bahamas was catastrophic, absolutely catastrophic, due to the prolonged and intense storm conditions. See, it wasn't just a hurricane that passed over the islands with these intense winds. It stuck there, and it hung there, and it wouldn't stop. And so it included this heavy rainfall, high winds, and storm surges, with thousands of homes destroyed and at least 73 deaths recorded, 70 of which occurred in the Bahamas. And the true death toll is unknown, but news sources in the Bahamas suggest it will likely be higher. Over 282 people. As of December 7th, 282 people are still recorded as missing. And Dorian is by far the costliest disaster in the Bahama history, estimating up to $5 billion. But in seeing the damage on the TV, it was quite a shock to see just these entire neighborhoods and coastal areas just wiped out. Houses and property having been washed away, just absolutely washed away by the storm. There was boats up into some houses, and then others it was just timbers laying across. But then every now and then, you would see a home only slightly damaged. So you have this group just completely wiped out, and why is it that there's one that's just only slightly damaged? Some siding blown off or a couple tiles of the roof blown off. They had just been through the same storm, but they're still standing in the aftermath of that storm. And think about that. Some are still standing in the aftermath. Matthew 7:25 says, "And the rain fell, and the flood and the torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Now in our text, Jesus uses the same analogy to bring out his final point in his conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the foundation of a physical building or the foundation upon which you have built your life. The principle is still the same. The material upon which you lay your foundation will determine the strength of the structure that it is built upon. Now let's read that text again, and I'm going to conclude at 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Here's acts founded. Here's these words of mine, acts upon them, founded upon the rock. Jesus tells this parable that compares two builders, one wise and one foolish. He emphasizes how critical it is to have a strong foundation. The use of a building metaphor should not surprise us because Jesus was a carpenter. He had built furniture that put people into their homes, and he had probably built some of those homes as well. So Jesus knew the difference between a solid house and a sloppy one. But this parable is not just for carpenters or architects or people in the building trade. It's a parable for you and for me. Building a house is simply an analogy for building a life. So the point is this. The only way that you can be built to last in life and as a church, all of us together, is to make sure that we're building upon the right foundation. So I pretty much just preached my sermon right there, right? But within this analogy, there's two things that are the same and two things that are different. Both houses are similar in construction, and both houses must withstand the storm. But each house has a different material upon which its foundation is laid. And as a result, each house has a different outcome. One house is built to last by that wise man because he put it upon the rock and it stands. The other is built by the foolish man who puts it upon the sand and it collapses. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at these two structures. So if we're going to be built to last, we really need to understand this and we need to know what it looks like. So the first thing that I notice is that although both houses look similar on the outside, a house built to last is different on the inside. Nothing in the text suggests that both houses were different in appearance. So if you take verses 15 through 20, let's say, Jesus seems to suggest that the outward structures looked very similar. In those earlier verses, he warns us about false prophets. False prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. According to Jesus, wolves are not distinguished by their outward appearance. You can't tell a wolf is a wolf just by looking at them. The only way to tell the difference is by the type of fruit that they produce. So you must pay attention to how they live. Do they live in humility and in faithfulness? You must pay attention to what they say. Do they speak words of righteousness based on God's word, or is it man-centered? And we must pay attention to how they respond to the word. Are they growing in Jesus? Am I growing in Jesus? Are you growing in Jesus? Or are they just being entertained, coming and going when they please, and then eventually falling away? Are they dead to self, or do they have dead works? Are they dead to self, or do they have dead works? A church built to last will not just have the appearance of a church, but there will be a production of good fruit, because it's not what's on the outside that makes a difference. It's what is on the inside. It's what is on the inside. Eventually, what's on the inside will have to show. It will have to show on the outside. Amen? Think about this. You're an expecting mother. You start to grow and you start to grow and you start to grow. You don't stop there. You don't just, your growing's not done. The fruit is going to be produced on the outside. So the second thing I notice about being built to last is that you need a strong foundation. When we built our house, we considered all the different kind of construction materials that we could do. We could lay the foundation with block. We could have poured cement. We could do a basement. We could do a crawl space. But whether it was a basement, whether it was a crawl space, or whether they used block or poured concrete, whatever, the purpose was the same. We needed to have that strong foundation. And what does your foundation look like in your life? What is your foundation built on, built of? What's the materials that it's built of? Because if you're, think about this, and you look at a foundation, let's just a square picture here. If your foundation is built on your family, or built on your close friends, or yourself, if your foundation is built on that, what happens to family and friends? One could die, and there's a block that's taken out of the foundation, right? You could get in a fight. You could get in a disagreement with one another. Any disagreement, all a disagreement has to do is wiggle a block away from the foundation. But if your foundation is Christ, we know that Christ never leaves us, never fails us. Amen? And so if our foundation is built on that, that is a foundation that's built to last. So that's where it's got to start. And Jesus says the only way to build a strong foundation is by obeying his words. He begins his parable in 7:24 with the word therefore. Therefore, which takes us back to the entire Sermon on the Mount. It's not if you want to. It's not if you feel like it, it's therefore. It's a whole continuation. So consider his teaching when he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. There again, it's not if you want to. It's not just listen to it. It's act on them. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. So the key to the strong foundation is in Jesus saying, these words of mine. Throughout the New Testament, the final, ultimate, and exclusive authority in true religion is the word spoken by Christ. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus commanded the church to teach whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And then again, in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So yes, Jesus desires us to hear his words, but he doesn't stop there. Right? We just read that. He goes on to say that you must act upon his word. You must act upon it. You can't just read it and be full of knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. If you're going to be built to last, you must actually do what he wants you to do. Hearing the word is not enough. Only as you obey his words are you building your life on his words. Even James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, which if you're a hearer only, you deceive yourself. So, question for us. Do we read his word for knowledge, or do we read his word for wisdom? When you are seeking to obey Jesus' teaching, and when you have made a commitment to obey his words, he says you are a wise person building on the right foundation. Everyone around us and everyone around you may not be perfect because you've built a strong foundation, but you find yourself standing strong. And finally, we see why it's so critical to build on the strong foundation, because being built to last means we must be able to stand through the storm. And Jesus says, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. So the rains and floods and winds suggest oppositions from above, oppositions from beneath, and all around us. However, the stability of the wise man's house was due to the fact that it was built not upon the sand and not upon a rock, but upon the rock, the cornerstone. Jesus doesn't pull any punches here. Look at how the word "and" is used in 7:25. He doesn't say if the rains fell and if the winds blew and if the floods came. It is "and the rain blew and the winds came and the storm surged and the floods came and they slammed against that house." And Jesus tells us straight up that yes, storms will come. And when those storms come, let me tell you, I know all of us here have experienced it. You cannot get your eyes off of that storm, can you? Because it is from the sides, it is surging up from beneath, and it is pouring down on your head in that moment. Yet at that time, think about this. If we are built upon the rock, and that is our foundation, and that is when we can exclaim, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you." If you've walked with Christ for any length of time, you've found that people who hear and do what Jesus says have the very same crises in their life as everybody else. Amen? That's because obedience to Christ doesn't mean that you get a free pass. And it doesn't mean you won't get rained on. And it doesn't mean that the floods won't come. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be blown all around the place. As I heard Mom saying this morning, she opened the door one day, and the wind knocked her right off on her, just pulled her out of the car. And she's like, "I couldn't believe it happened." But that's how strong those gusts of winds are. So anyone that tells Christians or tells anybody else that becoming a Christian means it's all sunny days, they're full of it. They just lie. "I'll become a Christian, and I can just say, 'Lord, I want this,' to take this away," or da da da. They're just lying. They're lying. The storms of life are what test us. They test us. It's the storms that reveal the strength of our foundation. And when somebody says, "How could you go through that? How did you survive that?" Well, I know how I survived. And so the person who builds on the rock is a person that also expects storms to come. How many of us, we know that storms are going to come. There's no stopping them. Sometimes the storms come with a warning, and other times they suddenly come on without warning. Just like Hurricane Dorian, they thought, "Oh, this is going to be just a little tropical storm, and it's going to go off into Puerto Rico, and it's going to hit the mountains, and it's going to go away." And then all of a sudden, bam, I'm a Category 5 a day later. How did that happen? When the storm does come, it's going to test what's hidden on the inside. And like I said, Hurricane Dorian wasn't just devastating because of the strong winds. It was devastating because it was a continuous, slow-moving storm. The winds blew, the rain came, and the flood water rose constantly. Just because we're obedient to Jesus' words doesn't guarantee protection from troubles. But obedience to his word is protection in the troubles. When we operate under God's word, we are under his covenant covering. Look at it like this. When it's raining, we go and reach for our umbrella, right? It doesn't mean the rain's not there. We open it up and put it over our head, and the rain still comes down. But the umbrella protects us from the rain reaching us, right? Although it doesn't change what's happening around us, it changes what happens to us. Likewise, when you're under God's covenant covering, the circumstances, the trials, and the challenges of life may not change, because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But God will cover you in such a way that they do not pour down on you as they would without his covering. James 1:2 describes it this way when he says, "To consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." The trials of life are nothing unusual, but if we let endurance have its perfect result, we will be made mature and complete. We will lack nothing. And so, it's not that we find joy in the storm, but we will find joy over the product the storm produces, which is maturity. And that's why David could say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Because he understood there was going to be some tough days, and he didn't fear because the Lord was with him. So yeah, we may lose some windows, and we may lose some shingles off the roof, and our house might be shaken, but because we are built to last, it will not collapse and be swept away. Oh, there's a witness to this in the Bible. I love the Bible gives us all the examples. So let me call a witness. Paul. Think about Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." Crushed, but not destroyed. So we may not have good days all the time, but we know that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Amen? Amen? So I heard someone say, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or entering into a storm. But if you've built your life on the foundation of Christ, you have nothing to fear. Because a good storm will only demonstrate the stability of the foundation. So there's a praise for the one who is built to last. The only way we can say we are built to last is because we have found rest and the finished work of Jesus. Amen? Because of Jesus' victory at Calvary, because you are in him and he is in you, that means you are built to last. And if you haven't experienced Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if he is not your Lord and Savior, and this is something for us to take to the rest of the world because we know and we can have a firm foundation, but if you haven't experienced that, yes, I invite you to. Because it is absolutely amazing. We can give God praise. Why? We praise him because you don't ever, and I don't ever, have to worry about the storms of life ever being stronger than the rock that we're built upon. And that rock holds us down. That rock holds on to us and does not let it get washed away. We can stand the test of time because the rock has already stood the test of time. We can make it through the trials and the tests and the tribulations because the rock has already passed the test. Jesus had already done that for us. He already overcame every single trial. We can hold on in the middle of the storm. We can hold on and we can endure because Jesus Christ knows. And think about this. He knows how to make the storms of life obey his will. He's in the boat sleeping. The storm is raging all around and the disciples are freaking out. And Jesus is like, what? I was taking a nap. And they're freaking out. Help us, save us, help us, save us. All right, peace, be still. And the storm stops. So when the rains fall, don't give up. When the enemy comes in like a flood, don't give up. When the winds are blowing all around, don't give up. It's the rock, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is holding us down. We will not be swept away. The rock, our Lord Jesus Christ, is stronger than the storm. Amen? How do we know this? Because God has charged Jesus, our mediator, to see the keeping of the bodies and the souls of all true believers. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of those he gave me. But in the last day, I will raise them up. I will not lose one of them. Amen? You, me, others, he's not going to lose us. He's going to hold us down. So, why can we say that we're built to last? It's not because we look good. It's not because the outward appearance. It's not because we're knowledgeable in the Word. It's not because you bought the first brick of the church, or you've been here for 100 years or 75 years. It's not because we come to church every single Sunday. It's not because we're doing things right. It's because he who began a good work in you will perfect it, complete it, finish it, and keep it until the day of his coming, until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? He who began the good work in us will finish it. He is our foundation. He is our rock. He is our Savior, and he is our Lord. And we have nothing to fear. And I tell you what, there's times in our lives when that flood and that torrent and that wind and that fire, whatever is around us, we just feel totally consumed. And there's that saying, when you're going through hell, keep on going. Don't slow down. Don't turn back. Just keep on moving. Amen? Because he is our rock and he is our Savior. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, thank you, Lord, so much for your word today. Thank you for the reminder that we needed today, that our life being built to last means our life with you, Christ Jesus. Lord, our rock, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who has restored us, the one who has bridged the gap, the one whom we can say is the one true King, and that we can say we are heirs. We are heirs. We are children of God. And we inherit the kingdom, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for reminding us that whatever's happening all around us and the waves are surging and we're drowning, Lord, that we need to just call out to you and say, help me, Lord. Lord, I need you. And you pull us out of that storm. And you say, peace, be calm. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the reminder today. Lord, I pray we're filled with your Spirit to go and share it with the rest of the world. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand if you're able.